Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Christophe Jom. How are you, Christophe?
I'm fine, thank you, Chris. Excellent. And hope you too.
You're from Domaine Grand Vigner.
This is Alain Jomefis. Alain is my father.
Yeah.
And inside Alain Jomefis, you'll find a different estate name. You'll find Domaine Grand Vigner in Châteauneuf-du-Pape and Côte d'Iron. You'll find Domaine du Clos VI in Lirac, and you'll find Chateau Mazan in Vaqueras.
Okay, so you've got a number of different domains, but they're all under the head of the sort of producer, Alain Jean.
Exactly, this is a family. This is Alain Jean, mes fils, we say, and sons. So,
I was going to say, but I met your sister, Eileen.
And my sister, yeah. I was sure you will ask it about it. So this is two boys and one girl. My sister is a bit younger than us. She just arrived at the domain a few months ago only, and to be honest with you, yes, company has been called Alain Jean Mes Fils in the past, but we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, give her a few years. Excellent. Now, you said that you guys produce wines in Châteauneuf-du-Pape and pretty much around the south of southern Rhone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Just before we get into it, just a bit of a profile, because Eileen took me for a tour around the winery before you took me out into the vineyard, or some of the vineyards you've got, and she sort of gave me a quick history, but she seemed to say that you guys you were grape growers for other wineries for a while. What's your history?
So at the beginning, we are a family producer in Châteauneuf-du-Pape since 1826. Mm. So today with Sébastien and Len and I, we represent the sixth generation of grower in the Jaume family. To explain about Grand Vigner, which is the main estate we have here in Châteauneuf, my father, Alain, created Grand Vigner in 1978 simply because when he started to work with his father, he also wanted to change things. That was another generation. That was other times, okay? And if you think about it, in Châteauneuf-du-Pape, only 40 years ago from now, many estates, small estates like we were, they were doing their wine, but they will sell it in vats to the negos.
Was there a co-op or was it negotiant?
No, negotiant. No, not co-op. Yeah, we always had the fermentation cellar in the family, but no much bottlings and no much sales in bottles. And my father, when he was 19, 20, he talked to my grandfather and he said, I want to change this. I want we bottle more. I want we put our name on the label, and we get known for the work we do. And we have great vineyards in the northern part of Châteauneuf. We own some Côte d'Iron 2 meters outside of Châteauneuf. So everything was a green light to start to do something different. Mm-hmm. And he built this project of investments, but last time my grandfather changed his mind and he said, no, it's perhaps too much money to invest. We don't know the result and everything. So my father decided to do it by himself. So where we are right now, the office, the construction, you can see, Chris, from where you are seated, you can see it's not so old because the oldest construction is only 35 years old. We are based near the main road between Orange and Châteauneuf-du-Pape, and we are here because my father had no clients and he needed to be able to stop the first car going from Orange to Châteauneuf. That was the idea about 35 years ago. I was still a baby at this time. So that's exactly the history of Grand Vigner. My parents started only from the vineyards my grandfather gave them when they decided to do their wine in bottle, to sell their wine in bottle. And then, step by step, my grandfather understood that my father was right.
Yeah.
So my grandfather retired. We got the ability to have more vineyards. Some cousin also in the family retired, so we'd be able to buy their vines. Next door from where we had our vineyards, and things are what they are. Today we grow about 90 hectares of vines. Mm-hmm. It's mostly so Cogeron Les Champauvins, which is just a baby Châteauneuf. It's the first soils 2 meters outside of Châteauneuf. I show you some plots.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've seen the rocks. Even if it's just the Cogeron, you've seen the rocks covering the soil. And we have 34 hectares of vineyards here, which is quite high, quite important. We have 16 hectares in Châteauneuf-du-Pape. Mm-hmm. And also, we have two new estates. One is called Domaine du Clos VI. It's in Lirac. That was my investment with Sébastien when we started 10 years ago, when we joined our father, Alain. We decided to develop the vineyards, and that was not possible really to develop here.
Yeah.
And Lirac was a great opportunity because it's less known. It's just facing Châteauneuf. You just have to cross the Rhône River. And in terms of geology, you find some kind of soil which looks like Châteauneuf.
Yeah.
The river, which was a huge river.
The Rhône River, yeah.
Yeah, 2 million years ago, is today like a small stream compared to what it was. And if you are one day visiting Lirac, you'll be amazed to see that you can find some soil which looks like completely Châteauneuf. So when we saw these vineyards for sale in 2003... we just believe that was a bet, but probably a good bet, because if you work your vineyards in Iraq like you do your vineyards in Châteauneuf, the result should be good. And today we know about it. We started in 2003 with 15 hectares, and today we grow 32 hectares of Lirac.
Yeah.
On the same plateau of rocks. And if we decided during these 10 years to develop this vineyard, you can believe this is because we completely know now that the potential in Lirac is great.
Excellent. What I want to do is just talk a wee bit about some of the idiosyncrasies of Châteauneuf-du-Pape since you're here, and then maybe in another podcast we'll talk about some of these other regions like Lirac and Tavel and etc. So before we get into it, Châteauneuf-du-Pape probably is most famous because it was the first appellation, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a place where a lawyer called Baron Leroy got the idea to plain to the producers in the 1930, something like that. He told them, look, there is a crisis. We were just after the First World War.
Yeah.
Things were not easy for anyone. And he said, maybe if we want to be better, to do better than our neighbor, it seems we already have a specific soil, and we know we have the rocks, we have a Châteauneuf-du-Pape is unique in terms of geology. So let's do a delimitation. And inside this delimitation, I will ask you to do some effort to reduce your yield, to do some kind of pruning, to do some sorting, to do a better job than what is doing the other appellation. And if it works, then we can get more renown, and maybe the price, the value of your wine will be better than the neighbor. And this is how Châteauneuf-du-Pape was created at the beginning.
He must have been quite a convincing character, though, because...
He was a lawyer, so probably he was good, yeah.
Yeah. Wine was the first real appellation, wasn't it, as well? So how did he convince... Because appellations needed government.
Oh, but following Châteauneuf-du-Pape, some other appellation have been created. I think that was really a period of time that this idea convinced different regions. I know that in Jura also there is an appellation which was created just after Châteauneuf-du-Pape. So just to say that that was a national reflections, but the fact the lawyer was in Châteauneuf make it happen that the first AOC was in Châteauneuf.
So it was a movement in France.
Was kind of movement. This movement was only for some appellations, not a lot of them. If you consider about Lirac is classified cru level since 1947, mm-hmm. So quite few after. Eh? Yeah. Vaqueras is cru level from only 30 years. It's not so long time. Yeah. So that was just depending of the involvement of each growers in the appellation.
Okay. We've sort of jumped in the 1930s, but originally, why is it called Châteauneuf du Pape? It's something to do with the popes, isn't it?
So you have the Avignon city. When you are in the castle of Châteauneuf, you can see Avignon if you have good eyes. And in fact, the castle has been built in Châteauneuf for the Pope, by the Pope. And they were used to come here for their just vacation, for their weekends.
If you go into Châteauneuf du Pape Township, is that the sort of building that's ruined on the hillside? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the original Pope's?
Yeah, but unfortunately, because of the world wars, it have been dramatically damaged.
And, well,
you only have one tower now, but it used to be bigger than what it is today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they're not going to repair it? They're just going to...
No, well, from what I know, they are not.
No, fair enough. It's probably more dramatic, isn't it? So the Popes used to come here and... From Italy?
Yeah, exactly. They stayed here for 100 years or something like that, and then they came back to
So the Châteauneuf du Pape, what does neuf mean?
Neuf is new in French.
So the chateau probably, of the new Pope?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Okay, and that's how the name got it, and then we've just found out about the appellations.
Mm. Yeah, the name of the village gave the name of the appellation.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Okay, Châteauneuf du Pape's in southern Rome, though. And I've just been up in northern Rome having a look around, and it was nice and still and quiet up there. By the time I got down here, it started to blow quite a lot. It was fairly windy when we got down here. That's the Mistral, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is one of the main advantage of the southern Rhone compared to the northern Rhone. Because when you say Rhone Valley, in fact, you could talk about two different vineyards. Mm. We have two different kind of soil. Completely different, and two different weather. Here, from let's say Montélimar to the south, you have the Mistral, which is a strong wind which blow through the Rhone Valley and which, of course, clears the sky and give you more light. So it's between the Alps and the mountains in central France. You have this air, this massive air coming from the north that is pressed into these two chain of mountains. And
It's the Central Mastiff and the the Swiss Alps.
And the Alps, the French Alps, Swiss Alps. You get this this effect of wind of Mistral. Yeah.
Mm.
Which is a great thing for us because I think we are the only one in terms of work. We are the only person, the people who are working the agricultural plants, we can get benefit of it. It's natural treatment, so it makes sense that when you have Mistral, you have no humidity,
yep.
You have more sun, you have no disease. It's the cheapest and more effective treatment you can get.
Oh, you're organic as well, so that makes a difference.
We are organic, and to be honest with you, that is a great advantage that helps us when you are organic. I can understand organic is much more difficult to manage in Champagne or in Burgundy or in Bordeaux because of the weather and the humidity you can get.
Mm.
We are south of France. It's a Mediterranean weather.
Yep.
So you got warmer.
Warm days, warm winters, warm...
Winters can be very cold because of the Mistral. Never forget it. If you are here one day with a Mistral by 100 kilometers and it's just 0 or 2 or 3 degrees, you remember it because it's like you feel it's minus 20. So it's different between the true temperature and the feeling.
But that Mistral does have implications for the vineyard because originally Châteauneuf du Pape had a lot of bush vines.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is one of the reasons they have bush vines is because they're nice and low to the ground so they don't get blown and buffeted around as much.
Yeah, it's partly correct. But if you are back again to 1930 or before, because the vineyards was planted before 1930, of course, Think about it. There were no trellising or posts in the vineyards 100 years ago, because people would not buy for this at this time. So you could find some posts for the Sierra, probably, because there will be a Titan to the posts.
Yep.
But today we do differently. We still have the Grenache in a bush vines.
What is from Gobelet?
Gobelet is bush vines. Okay. Yep. And today, because of new technology, because of everything, of course, you can use trellising with wire and posts. So as I enjoy to explain you that we like to have a high post to have a maximum of length in terms of shoots. More you have length, more you have leaves, more you have leaves, more you have photosynthesis. And when you know that the photosynthesis is the base of the construction of tannins, sugar, which is first is sugar, but then coming from the sugar, you have the tannins, you have the color, you have the aromatic, you have everything. So we are in a region, the vineyards do not show very well seam cut. We don't cut the shoots.
Yeah. If you go through Bordeaux, you see everything's nice and square and lovely and neat.
Yeah, which is very strict and very... Here it's different. We have the wind, which makes the trees a bit strange because they are... A bit
leaning over.
Exactly. So it's true for the trees, it's true for the vines. And then it's important to have this length of shoots. We don't see the interest to cut it always.
I heard, I'm not sure if it's true, but I heard that if you've got a bush vine and the plants are growing up, a bush vine compared to, say, a cordon or a goya or another trellising method, the bush vine, that you keep the humidity within the plant, so you don't lose as much moisture because it's quite dry here, isn't it?
Well, it depends. Could be.
It's been wet for the last few days, but often it can be quite dry.
Sure. But once again, I think it's... today it's still again the tradition of bush vines for Châteauneuf-du-Pape, but in Côte-d'Rhône, in Lirac, in Vacheras, in many appellations, we can have the Grenache in trellising, in cordon, and trust me, the result is positive as well. So I think in Châteauneuf we just keep and remain like we were 100 years ago, but in terms of technical things, there's no huge differences, I think, in terms of result, quality and results.
You mentioned about the pudding stones. What do you call them? Goulet?
The galets. These rocks.
Yeah.
These rocks of quartz, which are covering the soil. So, in fact, the soil, the typical soil of Châteauneuf, or Lirac, and of our vineyard, Les Champauvins, is about the fact in this place, about 1 million years and 1.5 million years ago, you had the river, you had the Rhone River, which carried all these rocks from the Alps, and they are rounded, so we say galets roulés. You say
pudding stones.
Rounded pebbled?
Pebbles. Yeah, because when rocks go through rivers, all the edges get knocked off and they land up quite smooth and quite round, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. The only place on this earth we've seen so much of them.
Yeah, they're quite big as well. They're big, chunky.
They're big
ones.
And they are on the soils and deeper in the soil as well.
And what do they do to the temperature, or what do they do to the environment?
Well, the funny thing is that the temperature of a rock during summer, so in August, like today, well, today is different because we have the Mistral, which cooled down a little bit the temperature. But in a normal summer day, a rock heated by the sun will reach 55 degrees Celsius, which means if you take one in your hand, after 3-4 seconds, you throw it because it's going to burn your hand.
Really?
So that's... that's step by step and day by day, kind of eater for the vines.
Yep.
And that's also explain why when you taste our reds, you start with a fleshy, fruity and fleshy mouse, which is in fact the representation of the galets roulés, of the rocks, mm-hmm. which is rounded and which gives more maturity and had more finesse to the tannins. That's about Châteauneuf typicity, the power, and together the feminine touch.
One of the things about Châteauneuf du Pape is that it allows so many different grape varieties. People used to say there was 13 grape varieties allowed in Châteauneuf du Pape, and then we were talking earlier and you said there's 14, and Wikipedia says there's 18 grape varieties. What's going on there?
Yeah, so it depends how you see it, but I like to say that books will talk about 13 grapes. Growers like to say in Châteauneuf that it's more truly 14 mm-hmm. grapes, because we have Grenache white for the white Châteauneuf and Grenache red, which is the main grape for the reds. However, we all know it exists some Clairette white and rose. It exists some Grenache gris as well. But they represent very, very, very small percentage in the appellation, and whatever they are called, Clairette or Grenache. So let's make it short and easy for everyone. 13 grapes is a story, 14 is a truth, and you can be wrong if you say 16.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay, Christophe, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your
time.
Welcome.
You're welcome. My pleasure.